is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 19th of November, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And I got one very important question for the entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Given the news on the front of today's Guardian paper, CCA puts up Bahamas hotels as security. How many cookouts are we going to need in 2025 to right-size the Bahamian economy? BPL already need $1 billion. I know what's going on with DCCA sockets by them, but I figure we just raise $1 billion one time, put it in escrow, and hope for the best. We don't have enough stop signs. We need to buy stop signs. We need to add that to the cookout list. And potholes. Now, this boy telling me potholes, but I don't know what is in his mind. I don't know if he want more potholes or if he want less potholes. I ain't putting that on the list yet. But the question for the day is, how many cookouts are we going to need to right-size the Bahamian economy? Because it's apparent at this point that the government's going to need some help. One thing I know in this town that is help is cookout. Buddy. Anyway, joining me in studio today is Mr. Jason Evans. Now, we are awaiting the arrival of two more reps from a new project popping up on the scene in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Good morning, Mr. Evans.
Good morning.
AKA
Good morning, Bahamas.
Artist Javan, AKA co-founder of Thought Catcher Presents and The Spot. The Spot. Jason Evans. Morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I good. How you doing?
I good, thank you.
A little tired, but I good.
Wait, why are you tired?
Because I just been working on a 9-day project in Harbor Island that got me drained still. But I can make it.
All right. Was it the project or was it the swim from Harbor Island to New Providence that tired you out?
I think a little bit of both.
I imagine.
Yeah.
Next question. I mean, I don't want to ask you what you were doing in Harbor Island, right? But I want to know, were you also looking for the rattlesnake while you was in Harbor Island?
No, I wasn't looking for the rattlesnake. I was too busy working, man. I was too busy working.
Now, I've seen stories online, not in the paper yet, it may be in today's paper, where one of our local environmentalists, Scott Johnson, traveled to Harbor Island. With a, what do you call them? Are they herpetologists? People who study snake.
Okay.
Some of them call themselves prophetesses, and then some of them are other people. But the point is, they went on a trip to Harbor Island to investigate the story of the rattlesnake.
Okay.
And I think at this point, they have declared it's maybe a well-intentioned person spread misinformation. Unintentionally.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see that, you know. Don't know really what snakes look like.
I mean, no, hold on. I know what a snake looked like, right?
No, but
I mean,
you're talking identifying about different types.
All white people look alike to black people. Like, all snakes look alike to non-snakes.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true.
So
I mean,
me,
like, listen, you can't tell the difference between a foul snake and, say, a black mamba.
You can't,
black
I can't.
Black,
yeah.
Foul snake could be like colorful and that.
Yeah, but like I can't take a test.
No.
Right? Like I know those two snakes are different.
Right.
But I can't take a test and tell you what those snakes are.
So I get you then.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Snakes are the same.
Yeah, that's a snake.
Oh, let Mr. Dabble.
No, I'm not in that category of people.
Okay.
I have a love-hate relationship with snakes.
With snakes?
I love that snakes are a part of our ecosystem.
Yeah, because they kill rats.
I understand
like
and
that.
Appreciate what it is that they do.
Yeah.
I do not like that in the winter, they think they could come in my house uninvited to snuggle up against warm appliances.
Well, I mean, technically you are in their environment. So, you know, listen, I have a cat who actually likes to bring snakes into the house.
Like as pets or as gifts?
No, as gifts. Like, yeah, I just finished evening it. I bring it here for you to just do the last chop.
Because you have a security cat.
Mm-hmm.
I too have
but then the cat don't really go after the rats. That's I'm confused.
Your security cat on protest, like go slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a vibe. I think you need to talk to your cat or the nearest cat union in the place. I tell you, I'm having a similar problem.
Okay.
I thought would keep other cats away, would chase rats and thing. I do have a guard cat. When I take a walk every night, the cat comes and guards me.
Yeah.
And pushes me out of the road onto the side of the road to walk safely.
To make sure you're safe.
Yeah, that's the type of guard cat I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mine's kind of do that too. Like anybody who comes around who they don't like, yeah. Like, okay, I don't want you around me.
I know at least one person, one animal has listened to my show. I have a good guard cat.
Okay.
Before we get the show started, mm-hmm. I just want to make a couple of housekeeping notes to all of our cyclists, both bicycles and motorcycles. I appreciate your savviness. You bought a bike, so you're not tied down to the same traffic backlog, right? Like we all get stuck in. But I'm going to need you to pick a lane. Like literally pick a lane. Like you can't ride up the middle of the traffic when the traffic is stopped and then just slide yourself in front of a vehicle when the traffic gets moving, right? Like you're supposed to be in that lane. I want to know why is it that people on cycles, motorcycles and bicycles feel like they should declare to you that I bought this type of motor vehicle or vehicle, bicycle, non-motor powered, to break the law. I mean, the number of people who look at me while I'm trying to not hit them because they're doing foolishness in the road and say, I buy this to break the law. To make a third lane. To scooch in front of you as soon as the traffic starts moving. I don't understand. Another point I want to say to the delivery driver, the boy in the delivery truck, maybe he wasn't delivering nothing, right? Who was shocked that somebody, it wasn't the person that almost ran up into the back of you. It was me. The person who almost ran up into the back of you almost ran up into the back of you because you couldn't make the turn. The reason I blew my horn was because I realized you didn't realize that you couldn't make the turn because you had a bowl of food in your hand. I bet you couldn't make the turn signal either. I just want you to don't be afraid. Like, as if you put your bowl down while you driving a large motor vehicle, I bet you people wouldn't blow their horn at you. Another quick note. How do businesses that primarily concern themselves about things like compliance find themselves often on the wrong side of disabilities regulations? Like if your business is about compliance, why do you find it hard to adhere to the current regulations about disabled parking and infrastructure for disabled people? It is alarming to me that others cannot see the things that erode away at our most important systems. The burden working in compliance care not about complying. Also, one last note before we get the show started. Please don't tell me y'all bought another batch of police cars with no sirens. Y'all bought another batch of police cars with no sirens. I would rather believe that than to believe you don't have the technical staff available to install the sirens that come with the vehicles. Did you buy the sirens separately and then you couldn't reschedule the way to install them because he's busy doing. I'm just that lights alone do not work to indicate an emergency vehicle is passing through the thoroughfare in the daytime. And horns are not an appropriate replacement for sirens. I want some of y'all to pause and think back the last time you heard a police siren, not the prison escort, a police in an emergency using their siren. I have a feeling that the sirens are like the body cams. There's a record of when the siren is used. And so y'all figure, if y'all don't ever use the siren, then there's no record to be checked. Anyway, that's just me thinking about things that I shouldn't have to think about while I am driving my motor vehicle. Again, dear Bahamas Royal Police Force, I don't want you to think that we are ever friends, ever not friends. We are friends. And in the spirit of friendliness, I just want to share with you. I'm not snitching now. I'm not snitching, but I'm just saying, like, if you hid some vehicles around, I don't know what, I can't remember what the name of the corner is. It's a very important corner. The road right between CR Walker and Government House. Like, if you just hid some officers right there on Market Street, y'all would make enough money for everybody's Christmas bonus in the police force. Y'all even be able to give the people on remand a bonus. Try that out. Market Street and CR Walker Corner and Mackey Street and Shirley Street. I like y'all as my friends. I want y'all to make money so y'all could, live. Like buy bulletproof vests and things. So literally you could live. Anyway, I have joining me in studio Mr. Jason Evans. The Black Box. I don't know the name of the event, but I know it's themed a community event at your community theater. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. This morning. Yeah, so the Black Box open mic, it is literally called the Philip Burroughs Theater, but it was originally called the Black Box, so
All right.
That name kind of stuck more. But so what the Black Box open mic is a fundraiser because the Dundas Community Center needs help, right? I don't know if people know, but it is a community center. It's for all Bahamians and that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, the buildings themselves are having some issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so a few people from the community have kind of stepped in to try and create, events, fundraisers, and that type of stuff to help, make the Dundas great again.
Bring it back to life.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I read was that there is a massive fundraising campaign to save the Dundas.
Yes.
The organizers, the owners, organizers of the community space have indicated that they need $250,000, like over the next 4 years,
yes,
to prevent the collapse, both literal and figurative,
of the actual
the Dundas and the performing arts space.
Yes. So the Dundas itself, which most people know, the building where when you drive into the yard, the first building you see, so that is the Winston Sanders Theater.
Okay.
Right? But
so we typically, like growing up, I'm 48, we know that building as the Dundas.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And the Dundas incorporates the entire compound.
Yes.
The space and the building.
The grounds and the buildings.
And the first building, we know that as the?
The Dundas.
Right.
But it actually is theater.
Absolutely. You remember when the name was changed?
Not quite, but I think it would have been within the 2000s, maybe.
Yeah, within the last 20 years,
yeah.
There was a reorganization.
Yeah.
So the main building is the Winston Sanders.
The Sanders
building.
Yeah.
And the Black Box, the sort of mini theater that creates a more intimate ambiance.
Yes.
With the audience and the play, the stage.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Black Box is, so the Dundas actually can hold in excess of, say, 300 plus.
Yeah.
Okay. The Black Box could only hold about 88 people. So you do math. You can't really make a lot of money doing production in the Black Box space.
But artists have been sort of relegated to the Black Box space
because
of the condition of the main building.
Yes, because what happened was during the time of COVID, everything stopped, including the air conditioned units, right?
Wait, what?
Yeah, including the air conditioned units. So for not being used for almost two and a half years or something like that, they pretty much stopped working. So that's one of the primary reasons why, you know, the Dundas is.
All right, hold on. Let me make a note. In the next pandemic and lockdown, ensure that policymakers know that technicians need to be considered essential workers so that they are able to conduct the required regular maintenance on large infrastructure like central air systems for theaters to ensure that they don't deteriorate unnecessarily while they're not in use.
Mm.
Policy note. Okay, good stuff.
Yeah, so... Yeah. But here's the thing, the Dundas Yard is actually for Bahamians. Like, it's for everybody to use, all right? And there are, like, some really great plans for the Dundas property. Like, for instance, once the Dundas is back up and that could actually start generating, the idea is to put a big deck under those fig trees in the front of the yard and make it, you know, like...
You say fig trees?
I think they're fig trees in the front.
Don't tell nobody else. Come on.
So... You know, and then there's also the James Catlin Theater in the back that hasn't even been built yet. It's supposed to be an amphitheater, right? The property
Beautiful.
Is a huge
yeah,
piece of property.
Yeah, it's massive. Another guest has joined us in studio.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, sir. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Joshua Hewitt, a part of the Black Box Open Mic team, trying to support the initiative here for the Save the Dundas Project.
Yeah, I see, Jason, when this boy tried to sell me a mango for $10 this summer,
if he
had told me it was a part of the Dundas fundraiser, I'd have bought a mango for $10. I didn't know, Joshua, I didn't know.
Trust me, everything that we do is all towards saving the Dundas, man. We are in dire straits. We need every single thing that we can possibly get so that we can get this show on the road.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, in terms of the wider Dundas space, you are... saying that the space is available for community organizations or organizations who want to host events there.
Yes.
And externally, not on the inside, but the bathrooms are available. Because I know I did an event there earlier this year, and while the main theater wasn't necessarily accessible,
yeah,
the bathrooms were accessible.
Yeah, but at this point now, the bathrooms are kind of, I think...
They're also a part of the campaign.
Well, yes. Well, listen, the entire Dundas... building is almost 80 years old, or closer to 90 than 80.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there needs to be some upgrades and some stuff needs to happen for it to be
in
operational fully again.
Absolutely, Joshua. I know you wasn't coming to school today, but I know that's why you come late.
Oh, okay.
I found this article online for those who are interested. It's actually on the Dundas website, right?
Yes.
History of the Dundas, 54 years and going strong. It's written by Nicolette Bethel and Philip A. Burrows, and it's from Dundas News, Volume 1, Issue 2, October 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
Now, that, first of all, let's just make a note. The Dundas have its own journal.
Yes.
I love that. Okay. That's a part of... sustainability.
Actually, now, keep in mind now, Dr. Bethel says that the Dundas is 50-something years old. The building itself
is older than that.
Absolutely.
Because
it used to be something else before it became the Dundas Center.
To many Nasuvians, the Dundas is synonymous with theater. For the past 13 years, now this was written in 1994, for the past 13 years, the Dundas Center for the Performing Arts has produced an annual repertory season offering Bahamian audiences international and local plays, as well as performances by choirs, orchestras, and dance companies. Today, the Dundas is a key contributor to the development of the Bahamian performing arts. Such was not always the case. Named for the colonial governor's wife who established it, the Dundas Civic Center was for its first 30 years a charitable organization specializing in the training of servants. The present building, completed in 1940, was originally a large hall where classes in sewing, cooking, bed making, and laundering were held for aspiring domestics. During the 1960s, the function of the Dundas changed. Young Bahamians, many of whom had been educated abroad, began expressing an interest in the fine arts. A committee led by the Trinidadian-born pianist Meta Davis Cumberbatch created the Nassau Festival of Arts and Crafts. in an effort to encourage further development of local culture. Final performances were held at the Dundas. More and more, the big hall on Mackey Street was used as a theater. In 1965, Mrs. Cummings, the building of the Dundas stage. And in 1966, the last domestic class was held. By 1970, the transformation was complete. The Board of Governors, originally comprised of civic-minded businessmen, was restructured. The ownership of the property was transferred to a nonprofit corporation made up of amateur performing groups, the Nassau Amateur Operatic Society, the Nassau Players, the Nassau Festival of Arts and Crafts, Nassau Civic Ballet, the Bahama Drama Circle, and the University of Players. As we go to the break, I find it, like, what an interesting point that the space was used to train domestics, to teach them how to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think it's the irony. And then the lady's name is Meta. To put just like a beautiful moment, eh?
Mm.
Teach them to perform, because that's what they had to do.
Yes.
They had to perform a servitude.
Yes.
They had to perform a pleasantry. Because even if they were pleasant people, naturally, the situation and the circumstance they were in, they had to make it pleasant for themselves.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes. Wow, what a time. Anyway, we're going to a break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to ask Joshua a thing or two about what this space means to him. Stay tuned. On the clock. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah. And how many cookouts do you think he could hold this year? Because we need to raise not just $250,000, Joshua. We need $2.5 billion right now.
That's what I'm talking about.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey man, long time.
Girl, what going on? I hear women in Bahamas can't pass on citizenship to them own children.
We had one jokey government halfway tried a referendum in 2016, and two administrations since then ain't even bother.
I shocked you going back to live like that. What are you supposed to do with your own children if they ain't Bahamian?
Suffer. Luckily, Equality Bahamas been working on this issue, and I hear they ramping up for a full campaign.
Good. Y'all need action. The Bahamas like to play top class, but have all these old issues that the rest of the region done deal with long time.
You right. We got to get it together. Let me go online right now and tell my people share tiny.cc/nationality. We need the same rights as men to pass on citizenship to our children.
Yeah, get on our level.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock, a light conversation right now, but it's an important conversation about the future of the Dundas Performing Arts Center. I will say this, as a person that sort of sits on the periphery, right, the fringe of the acting community, I'm an improv actor, I mean, into memorizing no lines, and I say it like that, but I remember numbers, not lines, right? The Dundas is extremely important, and the Dundas has been doing fabulous work. I want to say for the Golden Jubilee, for the 50th anniversary, I think that the Dundas had the most impactful and important contribution to the collective celebration of 50 years of independence with their year of plays, right? They did 12 months worth of plays.
All Bohemian.
All classics, mm-hmm. Right? Did you name some of them, Jason?
Well, you had Susan J. Wallace.
First Comes Morning.
What else? There was You Could Lead a Horse to Water.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
The Setting Up. I think Children's Teeth.
Children's Teeth.
Oh, boy. Now you're doing it to me. There was a whole...
There were
12 months of just Bohemian plays.
One play a month.
Yeah.
Including that didn't even include Short Tales, the whole event.
No, Shakespeare in Paradise.
Exactly.
No, yes.
Right, that didn't include the traditional repertory season.
Yes.
Right, and so we didn't hear about it enough. We, the collective, don't know enough about it. Mm. So I'm not mad at people that they don't know. It's my job, right? It's my job to make sure people know what is inaccessible, but... I think it's important to make that note that it is, like, first of all, Elkin 360, the song, we love it. That's ours.
Dun, 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 dun.
And if you see the tourists dancing to it, right, because it makes it easy for them to connect with us and the experience they have in here. But the Dundas was the winner for the Golden Jubilee celebrations.
Yes.
Without a doubt. And it's important to ensure that not only can that continue, but the space that developed the people that thought of the idea and then brought the idea to life, that space is available for them to continue developing their talents, continue to bring our stories to us, and then continue to raise another generation of community actors.
Yes. That's exactly why it's there.
Right into the mic.
So that's exactly why it's there, to foster the whole community of Bahamian artists, people who maybe aren't super confident in what they have to offer as an artist to the world. They can actually get their start right there.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go now to the event. First of all, let's give people the date of the event.
Thanksgiving Day.
November 28th.
November 28th.
Save the date.
Yes.
Now tell them why they saving the date.
So basically that night at the Black Box is going to be the Black Box open mic. And our featured artist is going to be Judah the Lion.
Ooh.
But an open mic, for those who know, is an event where you come to express yourself. You got 3 minutes to do whatever type of artistry that you want to present to the population, right? Mm-hmm. And it's promised to be a very interesting display of expressings and that type of stuff. And we're also going to have some improv thrown in the mix as well. So it's going to be a very interesting night of Bohemian
performances.
Yes.
See, my whole thing with this is that I've been privy to some of what's been going on. And just so that everybody can know, this is shaping up to be extraordinarily entertaining and interesting to watch.
I hope so, because I was trying... Okay, I went to Alexandria Robinson's art show, mm-hmm. where she combined her artwork with spoken word and drumming and music.
Yes.
Right? To create a space where people could explore the power, the impact of trauma and the power of healing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, they need to come to the open mic and do like an improv presentation where the spoken word poets and a couple of drummers improv a piece on stage based on the artwork as it's arranged on the stage. I hope they come in, buddy.
Well, listen.
Can you tell us who some of the artists are that are coming? Other than Judah the Lion. Judah, you is enough, you know, but I just say it.
Well, I mean, okay, so the show is, each show is going to feature a particular artist. And so that night, Judah will be the featured artist, right? So we have a few, here in the Bahamas, I mean, I can't say we lack talent.
No.
Like, you know, so I can't even tell you right now who is the second person being featured, because I don't think it's actually worked out as yet. Just know it's going to be a myriad of entertainment type of things going to be happening, from acoustic singing to stand-up comedy to improv skits to people wanting to do short plays within the 3 minutes, and that it's going to be quite a bit of, I can't even say what's all going to be coming. Because I'm hearing now that there are also people who want to do Pink Live that night while the event's going on. And eventually there's going to be like a whole food truck thing so that, you know, Thursday nights would be the night where you come out to get your culture and your food and all that stuff all in and done this year.
Nice. All right. So it's the open mic is the start of a series of fundraising events.
Correct.
Yes.
Right. Now, is open mic the only fundraising event, or is this like what you guys are a part of?
Well, this is the one that we are part of. I mean, during Halloween, they had two nights of horror movies and that type of stuff. People came out, you know, supported, paid the money, watched the film.
Hold on, when?
Halloween.
This Halloween?
Yeah,
this
past Halloween. Yeah, so that was another fun fundraiser.
Wait, you all this advertising thing. I Captain Mizewell. Y'all have a problem with Captain Mizewell. Y'all might as well close this thing down. What you mean you had a Halloween party and you ain't tell me and I was already in my uniform?
Well, okay, here's the thing. I promise you.
Forget that. What are we doing for Christmas?
Okay.
Forget
that. Well, I promise you, moving forward,
yeah,
the communications can be better.
Because I know what we're doing for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
What are we doing for Christmas?
Well, I can't tell you yet, but I guarantee you there are going to be a play. Hopefully December is actually opening in December.
Yes.
So... yeah, the play is called December.
Yeah.
And it is hilarious. It is an older couple, like they're in the 80s, whatever. You could feel the love, but they're very much, you know, at each other's throat.
They've very much been in love for 60 years.
Yes. But it's such a heartwarming play to see, you know.
But in terms of events that are happening, at the Black Box very shortly, actually. We have not only this coming up on November 28th, but in December we're planning another event coming up. But if you want to have all the details for that, make sure to stay tuned on our socials, the Black Box Open Mic. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram. We'll be able to be found there, and you'll be able to get the information.
All right, so I don't need an actual web address. Just put it.
Hashtag Black Box 242.
Open Mic. Mm-hmm. See, open. When I was a little girl, Joshua... Long before you were born, in the, what do they call it?
Let me hear this now.
In the 1900s.
Oh boy.
Right? We had a Black Box open mic. It was called ZNS. You turn on the TV and you don't know what coming on except Sesame Street and the news coming on at some point in time. That was my, because the news, Sesame Street is when I turned it on, and the news was when I would turn it off. But that was only a little cheering.
I used to turn it on for the start with Kelsey Johnson. And then you had the national anthem. What? Mm-hmm. Before Sesame Street, come on.
Joshua.
Hi.
You ever watch ZNS?
Of course.
No, I mean like watch ZNS. Because that's the only thing you had to watch.
No.
See, that's a different experience. Like, y'all now, y'all is turning to ZNS and then y'all feel like that you're a cultural ambassador. Like, I'm a good citizen. Every once a quarter, I tune in to see what is on good old ZNS. We had to watch ZNS or watch snow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if you had an antenna, you could pick up some Florida stations on the good days. If it's cloudy, forget about it.
I'm so glad we didn't have an antenna. You know my grandma would sit right in front of the TV and then call you and ask you to...
Change the channel?
Yeah.
Of course, you was the remote before the remote.
No, we had a remote, but the remote was on the TV because that's where they kept it so they didn't lose it.
Mm.
Now that I'm old, it makes sense.
Okay.
Now that I'm old, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so Joshua, you watch ZNS.
I have,
what
yes.
You watch on ZNS?
Well, you see, that was a really long time ago. And back then, I was only watching really Sesame Street and what used to come on in the mornings before I used to go to school.
This place says ZNS was watching him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what plays have you been in at the Dundas? And what type of, like, let's talk in the creative community, what type of dramatic work? I mean, I say dramatic, I mean stage, right? Like drama.
Okay, so the first part of your question I'll answer. The first time that I actually did anything at the Dundas was actually for a play that happened in 2019, just before COVID hit. It was a really, really, really touching play, and the name of it is eluding me right now.
What was the play about?
It was about how the Bahamians did not... There was a big boat crash off of an island.
Diary of Souls.
That's Diary of Souls, yeah. Man.
Don't watch that. I just want you to say, I know you, like, you didn't remember the name, but I know that that was the play that impacted you. Just by the way you were talking about it.
Diary of Souls by Dr. Ian Strawn.
Hey, that was so powerful.
And I did the set design for that.
Yeah, that was beautiful, man. You did an awesome job. And I actually helped to put together the sound and lights for that as well. It was directed beautifully, and it was super impactful. If you didn't get to watch it, you missed out. But please, if you will have an opportunity to come see it on this play, they always do a great job, because one thing about the directors and the overseers of everything, they like putting on quality stuff.
Yes.
I can speak from experience dealing with Philip Burrows and Dr. Bethel.
Yes.
They are definitely very, 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 very clean with what they do.
Yes. Now, to understand the value of the Dundas, Jason, when was the first time Diary of Souls was staged? In the late 90s?
Yes, in the late 90s.
Early
2000? I saw it at C.W. Sawyer's campus, the school in Yellow Elder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it there for the first time. Track Road Theater, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just want, for those who
Dion
are...
Dion Sims.
For those... ooh-wee!
Yes.
Producer, I may have to find some of his music for you, too. But the point is this, is that for those who've watched the play when it was first stage in the beginnings, to hear Joshua talk to be a part of the most recent rendition of the play lets you understand how powerful, right? Because when I hear young people talk like that, I just get dead jealous, like, boy, I did it first, you know. You're all around here, like, it's open up your whole world in your eyes. But that's the point of it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the opportunity that we as community members should seek to create for other community members, especially young people. This experience of interacting with something or someone that just opens your eyes and your heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Anyway, you hear that whistling? That's Judah the Lion. We're going to a break, you guys. Take a listen to who's going to be featured November 28th at the Black Box Open Mic inaugural event.
Yes.
Come out. Somebody could be toting. I don't know who bringing the food, but I know I toting the food. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. All
right. Killing every sound I am. Please don't tempt me.
Boy, that's Black Panther.
We no hella drunk in the back of the party.
Hey man, long time.
Girl, what going on? I hear women in Bahamas can't pass on citizenship to them own children.
We had one jokey government halfway try to change it with a referendum in 2016, and two administrations since then ain't even bother.
I shocked you going back to live like that. What are you supposed to do with your own children if they ain't Bahamian?
Suffer. Luckily, Equality Bahamas been working on this issue, and I hear they ramping up for a full campaign.
Good. Y'all need action. The Bahamas like to play top class, but have all these old issues that the rest of the region done deal with long time.
You right. We gotta get it together. Let me go online right now and tell my people share tiny.cc/nationality. We need the same rights as men to pass on citizenship to our children.
On our level.
You're a builder. You want to give your client the best material at the best prices, and you need to put food on the table. Well, check out these prices at Pinder Enterprises. 5/8 pressure treated roofing ply starting at $36.68 includes VAT. By the way, all these prices include VAT. Gray Select Water Shield, 134.20 a roll. Felt, 15 pounds, 16.50, 30 pounds, 19.80. Owens Corning Duration Shingles and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of Roof Cement, $33.47. When it comes to screwing and nailing, Pinder got you covered. He got every nail and screw you could possibly need.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Thank you.
Good morning and welcome back. Welcome back. You guys heard Judah the Lion just now. He is a wordsmith, right? Mm-hmm. He's a QC graduate, I think. If not graduate, I know he went to QC for a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. But did you know that this player is a classically trained musician?
Wow.
He plays bossa nova. Okay. He plays acoustic guitar and everything. He's a wordsmith, right? Mm. And so I just want to say to all my young boy and gal them who considering rap as a career, music as a career, you still got to get up on your words, right? Like, you still need to be proficient. You need to be literate, and you need to practice wordplay mm-hmm. all the time. Now, sir, Joshua.
Hi.
Let's go into the details again for this event. When?
November 28th.
What day that is?
That is Thanksgiving Day.
Good stuff. Okay, cost?
It's $10 for those who are just coming to watch, and if you're actually applying to perform, it's $5.
Okay, is there a prize?
If there's a prize.
If y'all don't have a prize, don't worry, I can wake something out. I mean, what I told them, they told them too. Don't watch nothing.
Well, I haven't seen any word of a prize in particular, but you will definitely be performing on the same stage as Judah the Lion. That's for sure.
Absolutely. So if you're looking for your talent to be exposed, you've mm-hmm. got to come out and seize this opportunity.
Absolutely.
Okay, time. What time I need to be there?
Doors open at 7. We're starting at 7:30 sharp.
All right. Good stuff. Will there be like concessions? Will there be snacks and refreshments?
Absolutely. So right now we have some little food, little light refreshments coming, and we also have the bar open with snacks and also, you know, actual heavy drinks that you'll be able to purchase.
I like that. You notice this boy don't drink at all, right? Or at least his Grammy don't know he's drink.
Let it alcohol will be on sale now. So we don't want anybody to get out of hand, but so we will also have security on deck. So be sure to be on your best behavior, please, when you come. We expect this event to last for about 2 hours, so make your drink last for that.
I really appreciate this, but you know why?
Right.
He say they gonna have leaded alcohol. See, that's me. Alcohol, I could drink
leaded.
That.
Oh Lord, right?
A rat on parry, I could drink that. That leaded alcohol, that's super heavy. No, sir.
Yeah, no.
All right, so time, doors open 7 o'clock, show starts at 7:30
yes.
p.m.
Yes.
Where and how do I buy my ticket? Or can I just show up and purchase a ticket?
Yes.
Yes.
So payment as of right now is at the door. We bring your $10 or however much you decide to bring. Don't kill us with bringing $100 bills if you only bring yourself. Bring somebody else with you if you're bringing
now,
that big change.
Now, hold on,
please.
So if they bring that $100, they could actually give that $90 as a donation towards...
That's okay. True.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Are we collecting cans?
It is a fundraiser.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Are we collecting cans for Thanksgiving?
Well, the thing is, that'll be Thanksgiving night. If anything, we'd have to collect them before.
Exactly.
And to get them for Thanksgiving.
Listen, I could be honest with you.
We could still collect the cans.
I'll be thankful the day after.
Okay. Yes, we could still collect the cans.
Right, because it's... So here's what we're doing. A lot of people don't celebrate Thanksgiving. Like, I don't celebrate Thanksgiving in a Western traditional way.
What?
Right?
You don't watch football and have the turkey?
No, sir. Anyway, but the point is that while we celebrate in Thanksgiving, the charitable effort is to support people throughout the year and not just on Thanksgiving. So if you're making like donations to people, think about it. Bring them a hot plate for Thanksgiving so they could feel like a part of what society is doing, and bring them some extra grocery for when Thanksgiving is finished. Mm-hmm. Right? That's real.
Yes.
That's real empathy,
yes.
I think. Okay, now, Jason, first of all, Joshua, where's EJ?
EJ is somewhere in...
Don't worry.
Nassau land.
Okay, I thought you was going to say he's on another island. If he in Nassau or EJ, you got plenty of homework tonight. So, I have a question for y'all. We got a little bit of time left on the show. We got 4 minutes left. And there's a lot of stories in the paper that I think require our attention.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sort of a sad story. The headline is, one dead, two injured in boat accident in North Andres. And we say condolences,
yes. Condolences to the families.
The family,
yes. Condolences.
The family of the deceased. And we send love and light and support for all those involved in the accident. And we go to a couple other headlines. the one that catches my eye. CCA puts up Bahamas hotels as security. Like, if you told me that these two hotels have the best security in the country, I believe you. But what you mean you put them up as security?
Security for what?
So you haven't been following the story?
Listen.
We got to work really hard on raising the $7 billion we're going to need to right-size the Bahamian economy.
Oh, okay. That's why you want to do the cookouts.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, we need to start yesterday. You know how many cookouts we're going to need to have to raise $7.5 billion?
That will be over a few years. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a year's worth of cookouts to make that.
Oh, no, we ain't got... See, the Dundas has 4 years. We only have 4 years to raise $250,000
right.
for the Dundas. See, that's easy. That's right?
Well, let's make it happen.
This $8 billion we need to raise to right-size the economy now. It ain't going to take years. I know one boy.
You know one boy?
You know one boy?
Okay.
Yeah, I know one boy.
Okay.
Yeah, you know him?
Kind of sure.
Good. Let me say. His name is SBF.
Oh. Okay.
He know how to raise millions of dollars
okay.
in an extremely short period of time.
I hear
and if
that
we
boy.
Could get that boy, if I could get that boy to work with me, mm-hmm. I sure we could raise this $9.75 billion we're going to need to right-size the Bahamian economy.
You might as well just say 10 one time. Got to round it off.
At some point, it was going to go up to 10.
Yeah, because somebody can get some of it who ain't supposed to get some of it, but they can get some of it somehow.
Like how the commissioner for the prison said, we drastically reduced the cost of the prison was going to cost $93 million. We drastically reduced that. But when I remember them first talking about it, I think it was $40 million, they say, they can spend on the prison. I just saying. So eventually, it could be $12 million I can need.
Okay.
Right.
To raise.
Okay. Just for the small things, you know? Just for the small things.
Yes.
Just the whole Bahamian economy.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
You think SBF and SH can get together?
Who?
You know who SH is? That's the boy I know. I thought you were going to talk about him.
No, I know a SB. Mm. I don't know a SH.
Okay.
Wait, Jason.
I know a BS.
Maybe the PS have a limit. They could only authorize... Hold on, they could authorize $250,000?
Exactly.
Do it four times.
We close. Uh-huh. Okay, there's another headline in today's Tribune. High alert on security firms illegally hiring foreigners.
Well.
First of all, the security industry, that space is reserved for Bahamians.
Okay.
Only Bahamians supposed to work in that space, right? It's a very interesting article. I'm hoping to talk about it in the next hour with Mr. Nuri, if he doesn't have guests. But it says the Ministry of National Security is on high alert over suspicions that private security firms are illegally hiring non-Bahamians as security guards, violating the law. I stumbled just now because we know that we still need clarity on whether security companies are illegally working their staff by ignoring the Employment Act, the number of hours that staff are supposed to work, and various other employment regulations.
Very
so I just saying, like, you worried about them hiring people, like, illegally. You not worried about...
But, I mean, didn't at one point in time they brought a bunch of Barbadian cops to the Bahamas to actually deal with crime? So it's like, it almost sounds like history just repeating itself again.
I mean, possibly. That one of them, I think, was my grandfather. Be easy. I don't know how you talking. I don't know if I like that. But the point is, right, that it's a very important discussion.
It is.
And if you're following it, take a look at the Inquiry Agents and Security Guards Act and Regulations. Now I want to know what an inquiry agent is. Is that a private investigator? I will be two things I want to be. When I see y'all at school tonight, liquidator and an inquiry agent.
No problem.
I found my new tasks in life. So you guys, stay tuned because Guardian Radio AM is coming up next. We're going to have more and more news about the Dundas fundraising campaigns.
Yes.
And we'll see you guys November 28th at the Black Box for the first Dundas open mic event.
Yes.
Bring your totem containers.
Yes.
Don't tell them I tell you bring your totem containers.
And bring your extra dollars too.
I mean, and bring
leave them.
In fact, just bring the Thanksgiving food.
Yeah.
Like, let's potluck it.
Yes.
Absolutely. Joshua, thank you. Jason?
Yes.
Thank you. Glad to have you here.
All right.
You guys have a great day.
Yes.
And don't forget to follow us.
Oh, on?
Any social media. The Black Box Open Mic.
All right. Black Box Open Mic.
For a special announcement.
Online.
Yes.
Have a great day, Bahamas.
Have a great day, Bahamas.
Great day, Bahamas.